you know, anyone die on the podcast.
Yeah, I think it'd be a first in podcast in general. I don't think anyone's ever died, so.
I mean, I'd have to check my my Apple Podcasts library, but you might be right.
Yeah.
Might be a first, especially in this show's history. But Renato, I'm still glad you're here. We do have a lot to discuss. As we usually do when Baronato gets together, we get cooking. Let's start, though, with... I don't know why Transfer Market is making noise here, but it is very annoying. Okay, I think I figured it out. I have not figured it out. Okay, no, I have. Never mind. Anyway, we're off to a great start. Anyway, the NBA season has started.
Oh, yes, and yes.
That takes precedence. Your Spurs are off to an okay start, I would say. Not great.
It's mediocre.
DeMar DeRozan is there now. I've never been a big fan, but what have you thought?
I've never really been a big fan either, but he's been so good that I have no chance but to love him now. I'm watching so much basketball. You have no idea how much basketball I'm watching. It's crazy. But I've watched every Spurs game so far, and except from the last one against the Pelicans, I still have to get around to watch that. But he's been so good. So good. The problem is, because we have him and LaMarcus, we're just shooting so much mid-range shots. And
yeah.
You won't win a lot of games. You're probably going to win half your games if we only shoot mid-range jumpers. And that's exactly what we've done. We've won half our games. So it's where I expected us to be. But, I mean, future without Kawhi didn't look great when he first won it out. But we got DeMar, and he's okay. It's not just okay. He's been exceptional. He's actually a top 10 MVP candidate, actually. But because of the way he plays and because of the type of players that we have, we're not going to be playing 15-win basketball this season. We just are not. So just hope to get an 8 seed and get destroyed by the Warriors or whoever the number one seed is and move on to next season and whatever happens. But the journey has been fun. I know we're not going to win a playoff series, so I'm just enjoying each game. Not even looking at how we're going to do it in April, May, and June, because there's no point.
I mean, it's got to be weird, too, with Ginobili finally gone. Just no remnants from those dynasty years. Nothing left from them.
Yeah, it's all gone, so... That's why I'm saying that the transition is a little less painful, a lot less painful actually than I thought it would be, because we lost Timmy and Tony and Manu, and then we lost Kawhi, who was supposed to be the next one, and I thought we'd just be awful. I knew we wouldn't be like Phoenix Suns bad, or or I don't know, yeah. Cleveland bad, but because we still have Pop. And Pop always figures it out. So, but I knew we weren't going to be competing for championships anytime soon, or even to get to the conference finals. So, like I said, I'm enjoying each game. I like watching, like guys like Bryn Forbes get better. Derek White made a really good start to the season when he came back from injury. Davis Bertans, I love him. He doesn't get big numbers, but I just love watching him. Marco Bellinelli is just exactly what you think Marco Bellinelli is going to be. Mm-hmm. So much fun to watch. And like in DeMar and LaMarcus, when they have big nights, we'll win the game. So it's just, I'm enjoying the young players, and I'm enjoying winning the games when we do.
It's going to be weird if they don't make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. It's going to be weird to see them not in the Western Conference playoffs. It's going to be so strange because they've made it almost every year I've been alive.
I think if they get to the last month, still in the playoff race, having two of the 25 best players in the NBA might make the difference for them. Might be just what they need.
You never really know.
If they get to March and they're like in ninth place and they're two games behind the number 8 seed, they might get to the playoffs. because, like I said, they have two of the 20 best players, 25 best players in the league, and that's and you, it's good to have that. So let's just see how what happens.
Yeah, that could make a difference. Well, Kawhi's Raptors have been really good. The Cavs have not. You mentioned both of those teams. Yeah, the Cavs situation is, I wouldn't say hilarious, but it is kind of fun to watch that franchise just completely, you know, decompose before our very eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a painful few months for them. I mean, yeah. LeBron left, 95% of their fans left.
And you thought that they had a plan this time when LeBron left. They had a plan, and it just...
No, they have Dan Gilbert. They don't have a plan. Yeah, they have Dan Gilbert.
Fair. That's very fair.
So you shouldn't expect them to have any type of plan. Like, he thought they made the playoffs. LeBron laughed and he's like, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs. Let's give Kevin Love a ridiculous contract. Let's run back all of the bad guys from last season who played really badly and think that without LeBron, they're going to just beat an 8 seed. That's not how it works. So,
that's not how any of this works.
No.
I mean, hey, the East is bad. So you thought, okay, maybe if they get a couple shooters and maybe they can be in the race, like maybe for the 8th seed, but not. No, they're gonna lose like 65 games.
Yikes. Yeah, they're gonna get, but you know what's gonna happen? They're gonna get the number one pick in Zion Williamson. Because that's what happened to the Cavs. They're the worst franchise in basketball, and they get the number one pick every 2 years. That's just what happens to them. I don't know. They're the weirdest franchise in the league. They're the most rewarded franchise for being the most awful franchise.
Never forget Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, they were awful forever. They got LeBron. Then LeBron left. Next year, what happens? They get Kyrie. And then LeBron, for some reason, wants to go back, and then they win a championship with LeBron and Kyrie. And they also got a number one pick that turned into Andrew Wiggins, which enabled them to get Kevin Love. To get that big three.
Now LeBron
leaves, they're going to have a terrible season, they're going to get the number one pick and any of the three Duke guys they want. So, whatever. It's just what happens to the Cavs. Life isn't fair.
Never forget Anthony Bennett, though.
That was fun, huh?
That dude was so bad, he was good.
You know what the funniest part about that was? I remember listening to a random Woj pod.
Yeah.
That... Woj said that if he hadn't been number one pick, he would have been, like, out of the lottery.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? How did the Cavs do that? That was the Giannis draft.
Yeah, it was. Like, wow. Yeah, it's still amazing he went number one in that draft, which included, you know, Oladipo went right behind him. Otto Porter went third. Those are both good players. You know, I mean, even, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was in the top 10.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum was 10th overall.
Yeah, that was the Giannis draft.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Giannis went 15th, yeah.
Yeah. Like, nobody knew Giannis was going to be Giannis, but I'm pretty sure Giannis was already better than Anthony Bennett at that point.
You would think so, but, man, yeah, the Cavs, they are a franchise that's kind of doing their thing. But yeah, I love the NBA. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to watch as much of it as I would like to and have been able to just because other commitments, but... The same also kind of goes for La Liga, which, kind of shifting gears. Yeah, I wish I'd been able to watch more La Liga this year. I mean, I've watched plenty, but never enough, especially with just how crazy the league's been this year. I mean, Barca are still top of the table, which is expected, but everything below them has just been kind of squirrely.
Yeah, like Espanyol are fighting for the
Espanyol
title right now. That's insane.
Yeah, and they've been, like, legitimately good. I've watched them. They're kind of good. They're actually, like, their underlying numbers say they could actually be a top five team in the league. Like, it's incredible.
I don't watch them because why should I? But, no, because, like, they're the worst. They managed to be worse than Real Madrid as a Barcelona rival. So I don't watch them. And yeah, I don't want to apologize for that.
They just kick the hell out of y'all every time you play them.
Yeah. And you know what a simple example of that is? Last game we played Betis, and Betis' goalkeeper is Paul Lopez.
Yeah.
Who used to be the Espanyol goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And every time Barca played Espanyol and Paul Lopez was in goal, he would either try to break Messi's leg or Neymar's leg or Suarez's leg or Piqué's leg. He'll try to break someone's leg. He came with Betis. He did nothing. Barca players were hugging him after he like saved after he gathered the ball after corners. The guys will hug him because he was playing well and he wasn't doing anything. But he goes to Espanyol. He's the biggest D-I-C-K in the world. So it's crazy. I just don't like them. I never will. And even though they are good and I acknowledge that, I won't watch them. I just won't.
I respect it. But
they are ahead. But they are ahead of Real Madrid, which is fun.
Real Madrid in sixth. That is very fun. It's not low enough, honestly. I'm just mad because Solari is off to such a great start, and you're like, oh great, I thought they were done with Zidane. Great, wonderful.
But yeah, no, they're just gonna get another Castilla guy who's gonna win the Champions League.
Yeah, terrific.
Cool.
I thought we were done with this. That's great. Okay, transfer market's kind of going off again. I don't know why. I'm just going to exit out the window. That's just what we're going to do.
What the hell is happening, Joe?
I don't care anymore. I had transfer market open to look at your guys' injuries, and it just started playing random ads. I don't know. But I've closed it now. I've got my notes. You mentioned the Betis game. Barcelona, I don't know if you know this, Renato, but Barcelona have already lost more games in La Liga this season than they did last season.
Yes.
I bet you knew that.
I did.
What happened on Sunday? Or not this, two Sundays ago, rather.
I think Betis deserve a crazy amount of credit that they've not been given since that game.
Mm.
They played a ridiculous match. It was just sensational. That was the best performance by any team against Barca this season, by far. And I don't think anyone's going to play as well as they did. Like, they deserved... They won that game. Barca didn't lose. Betis won that game. Fair and square. Deservedly so. That said, Barca shot themselves in the foot because Betis just have a very bad defense. And... which was proved by the fact that a very bad Barca team still managed to score three goals against them.
Hmm.
So, it was a really frustrating and painful defeat. You know me, as a Barca fan, I don't overreact to one result. I'm usually looking at the bigger picture. I don't criticize the coach after every loss and stuff like that. And I try not to be part of the overreact fan club, but... That was frustrating because like we just got through this really difficult period without Messi. We absolutely murdered Real Madrid. We had absolutely zero problems with Inter Milan. We beat Sevilla. We had a crazy comeback at Rio. All of that without Messi, which was like, and when Messi first got injured, we thought, oh my God, this is like the single toughest stretch of the season you can have without Messi. Unless it's like late in the season and we're the semifinal of the Champions League and then there's El Clasico in the middle or something like that. But with the schedule we currently have, that was the toughest part to not have Messi. But not only did we navigate that well, we just cruised through it. It was no problem.
Yeah.
So then you get Messi back against one of the worst defenses in the league and you think, oh, this should be a good way to go into the international break with a lot of confidence. You qualified for the Champions League knockouts. You're 1 point away from winning the Champions League group. You're top of La Liga. You've been unbeaten for almost 10 games now. So just go and win the game. It's not going to be... The Betis are really good, but their defense is just too bad. Their defense was bad, by the way, because Barca, like I said, scored three. Even though Barca played a trash game, but something just wasn't clicking there, and missing Philip, we decided to miss a lot of important players in the same game, and that hurt the team, and we just didn't seem up for it from the very beginning, and Betis took advantage with a ridiculous counter-attacking performance. And deservedly got 3 points.
Yeah, I agree. What most impressed me was just their composure, their ability to respond. Because you thought, okay, when Messi got the penalty, the first goal, we're like, okay, here we go. They're going to end up drawing 2-2. Then Arturo Vidal gets their second. right after Lo Celso's response, and then 4 minutes later, Sergio Canales makes it 4-2. This their ability to stay composed and respond and, you know, manage to have the ball a little bit. Barca only had about 54% possession.
Yeah.
By the way, Junior Firpo scored a marvelous goal, that first goal. That was a great goal.
Yeah, that was absurd. That was absurd. And Quique Setién is just such a good coach, man. He is.
Like, I think he's underrated, honestly. I mean, there are a lot of hipsters who say, oh, you know, Quique Setién's great, next Spain coach, watch Betis, etc. But I think that underrates him. It kind of trivializes him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's really, really, really good. And every big game that I've watched, the only Betis games I've watched so far are the big ones. And every time I watch them in the big ones, they're just so good. It's just the consistent, they don't manage to be as consistent, especially defensively, when they face the smaller teams. Yeah. I don't know if they feel the pressure because of the way they play to always keep attacking. And when they face a big game, they can have less of the ball and be more dangerous on the counter. I don't know. But they're just so good. I remember watching the game against Sevilla that they won with the Joaquin goal earlier in the season. That was such a good performance. And they did it again against Barca. And they're a really good team. Like, the two games against Milan in the Europa League, I watched both. They played so well in both. Like, they're a really well-coached team. And it was no surprise that they won a Cup. No. It was a surprise just how badly Barca played. Yeah. And that was the disappointing part, especially because that was the game Messi returned. And we were just such in a good momentum, and then when you lose, when you're Barca and you lose at the start of the international break, that's just 2 weeks of negativity, especially before such a giant game like the one we're gonna have this weekend. So it's not great right now.
I think to your point earlier about Betis and big games, I think the one like big game domestically that they haven't really played well in was against Atletico. About 6 weeks ago, Atletico really controlled that game. They were great in the second half and got the win through Correa. But that's like the one big game they played domestically that they haven't really shown up in. But they definitely showed up against Barca. And Atletico had a crazy game of their own. We didn't do a regular podcast on it, but the 3-2 win over Athletic, what a game that was.
Atletico derby.
Craziness. Yeah. Yeah, Atletico, of course, an offshoot of Athletic, a rematch of the 2012 Europa League final.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shout out.
Such a Marshall. Fun game. Such shout a out fun Bielsa. Game.
But this was just nuts. This 3-2 win over Athletic. It looked very much like Athletic were going to get their first win at Atletico in 8 years, but Diego Godin had other ideas.
Yeah.
Dude pulled his
shout
hamstring.
Shout out to Iñaki Williams, though.
Oh, he was fantastic. Yeah.
I have no idea how he's still there. Like, he's so talented.
Loves the club. And Muniain just renewed for like 6 years this morning. Something about that club. There's something about it.
Yeah, that's a special club. I wish Barca still had like that that feeling of, okay, this is our home here. Like, we fight for this, and it's not just. But Barca had to become a global brand, but that's another conversation. But that seems like a special club that players love to be at. And but like, when you look at a guy like, I don't know Muniain so much because he gets injured a lot.
That's true.
But Iñaki Williams, like, that guy, when you look like at a Premier League team, he's perfect for a Premier League team. A top Premier League team that plays on a counterattack, that's the guy you want.
Yeah, he's so fast, and they've been playing him as a number nine, which he's not, but he scored two goals basically as a center forward, and he made Diego Godin's hamstring go pop when he scored his second goal.
That second goal he scored was just ridiculous.
Yeah, and right after Tomas made it 1-1.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know, five meters behind Godin when he started the run. And when he scored the goal, he was celebrating and Godin was feeling his hamstring. It was just insane.
Yeah. And Godin did pull it. Well, more than pull it. He teared it. He tore it. I can't speak English today. He tore it.
Yes.
And then he was playing as a center forward for the last 25 minutes because he couldn't move. I mean, Godin has, he's getting older, so he has trouble moving anyway. But he really could not move, so Simeone stuck him up top, and then he ends up scoring the winner in the 91st minute, which did go to your favorite, Renato, the VAR.
No, the VAR.
It went to the VAR.
The VAR, please. It's VA, gosh darn R. For God's sake.
It went to a review, and it stood. Atletico got a huge win. They're now 1 point behind Barca, entering this massive match at the weekend. How you feeling entering Atletico and Barcelona? I mean, Barca seemed to always win this fixture, lest we forget.
Especially at the... it's at the Wanda, right?
Yeah,
it's in Madrid. Going crazy.
Yeah.
Barca love playing in Atletico Stadium.
They do.
Which is why I think we're going to be in the Champions League final, by the way. I never told you that, but we're going to be in the Champions League final just because it's at Wanda. We always love to play at Atletico Stadium in finals.
I mean, you won the Copa del Rey at Atletico Stadium, what, last 3 years? 4 years?
Four.
Yeah.
Last 4 years.
Yeah.
Because Real Madrid are cowards and they don't want to give the Santiago Bernabeu, but that's another conversation.
Yes, Atletico are willing to do it because Atletico always need money, but that's another topic.
And I tell you what, if Real Madrid are not in the Copa del Rey final in Barca, it's going to be at the Wanda again, and we're going to win 5 in a row at the Atletico Stadium.
Can't wait.
But anyway, we just love playing in Atletico's home, and except when it's a Champions League game, we always win it. Or at least we get a good draw. Like, we play well when we get a draw, like last season. I just think the guys, the players want to respond. Like, there's not much to criticize Valverde for the Betis loss. It was a lot on the players. The players just didn't turn up for it. And I think they want to respond. Messi had 2 weeks to rest. Like, he came back, so it's obviously a little difficult to get your rhythm back with just one game after missing a month. So he had like 2 weeks of training because he doesn't play with Argentina right now. So he had 2 weeks of training. It's gonna be in top shape, which I'm sure it's not something you're looking forward to.
No, I expected it when the news came down that Messi broke his arm, but he's gonna be back for Atletico. I'm like, oh. Great.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's gonna be at 100%.
Of course. And he only scored 2 goals against Betis. So
yeah.
Great.
Scored 2 goals against Betis.
Wonderful.
And like that's the thing I was telling a friend of mine. I was like, you know what the crazy thing about this Messi injury is? It's good for him because it wasn't a muscle. He just broke a bone in his arm. So
yeah, those muscle, injuries, that's fine. Well, relatively speaking.
Yeah, like if you break a bone and gonna be 3 weeks out, that's not bad actually, because you get a break in November, which Messi never gets, which might be actually perfect for the rest of the season. So Messi gets like 5 weeks off, only plays one game, his muscles are absolutely in perfect shape, and he's been training for the last 2 weeks to get ready for this game. And Messi loves scoring against Atleti.
Yeah, I know. I'm not terrified. No, who's scared of Leo Messi? I'm not. Little pipsqueak. Yeah,
sure not. But like Messi was at like 60% of his best against Betis and he scored 2 goals. And I'm predicting he's going to be at like 93-94% against Atleti. So yeah, doesn't look great.
Well, Messi's in there, but a couple absences, it looks like. Rakitic suspended. That's a big loss, I think.
Not really, because Vidal is going to play in his place, and Vidal has been really good lately, especially now that he knows he's going to start, because he hasn't started a game yet. So he knows he's going to start this one, and he's been playing well off the bench, so you can imagine how hungry he's going to be to play well for 90 minutes. And Arturo has just been so spectacular, like I told you he'd be.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I remember you... Banging the drum for Arthur. He's been really, really good. He surprised me how good he's been.
I told you. It's not surprised me. That's exactly what I said it was going to be.
He's already become just so important for them.
Yeah, he's Xavi and Iniesta in one player.
Yeah.
That's it.
Of course.
Is Xavi only asking one player? There's no discussion. Like, oh, it's not like, oh, he reminds you of Xavi in one game, and then he reminds you of Iniesta in another. No, no, he plays like both in every game. He can do both roles perfectly. So a midfield three of Busquets, Vidal, and Arthur is the best person can have at the moment because Rakitic is just not having a good season. So I'm not really worried about Rakitic, but I am worried about Coutinho if he doesn't play.
Yeah, Coutinho looks like he is going to be out as well. He's got a muscular injury too, right?
Yeah, it's a hamstring.
Hamstring.
And he missed the international break. It's either hamstring or calf. I don't remember. I know it's muscle, but it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks. But he got injured against Inter Milan. So there might be a chance he gets back to be at least on the bench for this one, but it's unlikely. I don't know if Dembele is going to play. That seems to be the big mystery right now. I don't know if he's injured or if Valverde just doesn't like him.
Yeah, and
the squad just doesn't want him around them anymore.
That's a whole situation with Dembele because, I mean, this has been a thing since he signed for Barca, right? I mean, the headlines have been pretty consistent about, you know, he's not a hard worker this, he is lazy that, or a lot of these are from the Catalan papers that have kind of...
It's all true, though. It was the same thing at Borussia Dortmund. When you get the same headlines at two different clubs, they're not making it up.
Mm.
They're just not. Like, he's late for training at times, he's lazy in training, he doesn't work as hard. Every time he gets injured, he's really lazy in his recovery, and it takes him a while. It takes him more time than he should for him to get back. And that's the frustrating thing because it's so good. It's so good. He came on against Real Madrid when Barca was struggling in that game, and it changed it. Because Barca destroyed Real Madrid in the first half. Real Madrid came back a little bit for 15 minutes. And then Valverde said, Dembele, come on, change the game. He went on and changed the game. The fifth goal that Vidal scored, I still feel bad for Nacho. It's been almost a month, but I still feel bad for Nacho. You remember how he got away from Nacho in that play, right?
Yeah.
He just destroyed the poor guy.
Yeah, he really did.
He had nachos for dinner.
well done.
That's not my joke. That's a joke from the Barcelona's comments, by the way. I won't take credit for that. But he had nachos for dinner. And the poor guy just was murdered by Dembele. And you see how talented he is, how easily he runs at top speed, and it seems like he's just jogging on the pitch. How good he is with both feet, and how he can shoot, he can pass. He gets back to defend, but he doesn't want to do that. Not that he doesn't want to do that. He only wants to do that. The other part of the game, which is showing up in time for training and taking care of your body,
being a
and your diet.
Basically.
He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But that's frustrating, really frustrating.
And I get that. I totally get that because doesn't seem like he's very professional most of the time, but you still got to keep him around, right? And he's 21 years old. He's doing, I think, what 21-year-olds do.
He's leaving is sadly mistaken.
No, he's so good. I know the club is kind of upset with him, and he's been kind of divisive, but he's so talented. It's obvious how good he is.
Yeah, that's the thing. The reason everybody at the club is frustrated with him is exactly because of what I said.
Yeah.
Because he's so good and he's wasting his talent. But they still think he's young enough to learn and get better at that. And once he gets better at that, he's going to be one of the best players in the world. So they still believe that. They're going to give him as much time as they think it's necessary. I don't think there's a deadline yet, but at some point there's going to be a deadline. I was like, hey, if you don't get better by this date or this year, you're just gone. We can't accept you here.
But it's still too early to cut ties with him.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a guy who you spent 150 million euros on, 2 years ago. You're not going to sell him now.
I would wait at least one more season. If you're going to sell him in 2020, at least.
At least.
At least.
Absolutely.
He's still going to be worth a lot of money by then.
So we talked about Dembele, we talked about Vidal. Arthur. The other new signings, Longley and Malcolm. What have you made of them?
Malcolm is now playing finally.
Yeah.
And I understood why people, especially in the Barcelona organized comment section, were complaining a lot about him not playing. But sometimes it's just how it works. Barca had a lot of wingers, and Valverde knows Munir better. And maybe he thought Malcolm just didn't fit what the team needed at that moment. But when the body started to fall apart and there was a chance for him, he took it. So now he's ahead of Munir in the pecking order. It's just how it works. That's just how it works at a high-profile club. You have to weigh your chance, and then if you have it, you take advantage of it. That's what happened. And Malcolm is not leaving. He said he's not, and he's not going to, and he's going to have the chances now. He waited for his opportunity, and he got it. It's a very natural process that, because it happened at Barcelona, it turned into an unnatural process, but it is. It's just what happens with young players when they move clubs. They just have to wait for their chance.
Yeah.
And he waited, and yeah. He's probably going to start against Atleti. If Coutinho isn't back and if Dembele isn't back, Malcolm starts again. He was very good for 20 minutes against Betis, just like the rest of the team before the entire team collapsed. So there's I still think he should start. He probably will, and he's playing well now that he has his chance. It's just how it goes. People, Barca fans overreact to everything, including the natural process of a young player getting his chance to play at a big club. It's just how it works.
Yeah, more shifting, but I got another question for you. Samuel Umtiti, are we ever going to see him again? Is he alive?
Probably on Saturday against Atleti.
Yeah, I figured that's. I was reading a few weeks ago that that's when he was going to come back. I think Longley has been decent as his.
No, he has not been decent. He has been good.
He's been good.
Hasn't been really good or great. I won't exaggerate, but he hasn't been just decent. He's been good. Like, you have to understand, he's stepping into Umtiti's shoes. Umtiti's one of the best. Well, without that, one of the three best central defenders in the world right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's him, Varane, and who else? I don't know. It's not Godin anymore because Godin is.
Yeah, Godin's probably out of the top five now. He's like on the border. Like I'd still probably have him in my top five, top six, but I'm a little biased. So, yeah, I mean, Umtiti's there, Varane's there. Someone who's kind of obvious is there that I don't know who, but at any rate, I'm
not thinking about it. But Umtiti is one of the three best defenders in the world right now.
I mean, and that is a good point. Lenglet has to step in for a guy who is that good, so you're gonna notice kind of a little dip in quality because he's a backup. That's kind of how backups are supposed to be.
And because the dip in quality hasn't been too evident or evident at all, because that means he's been good.
Yeah,
I didn't expect him to be Umtiti. Because he wasn't supposed to be on TT. He was supposed to be on TT's backup, and he's playing like in TT's backup, which is a very good center back who is playing when TT is injured or rested. And that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. But I'll tell you that, Lenglet has exceeded my expectations. I thought he'd be decent at best, but he's actually better than that.
So, Barca have injuries, as we've discussed. Atletico have injuries. Fewer injuries than they did before the international break, which, seriously, half a dozen guys out with muscular injuries. But on Tuesday, Diego Costa trained. Lucas Hernandez trained. Stefan Savic trained. Tomas Lemar, Koke, they were both in. Everyone but Jimenez and Godin looks like they are going to be in for this game. Jimenez could still make it, but seems unlikely with his latest muscular injury. Both teams still missing key components, but a lot of guys are back, and it's exciting, man. I mean, Simeone has never beaten Barca in La Liga, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I see things through rose-colored glasses and I'm too optimistic for my own good, but maybe this will be the year.
I mean, you have two chances again.
Yes, that's how the schedule works.
That's the first one.
Yeah. And
but then, I'd say you have a better chance at Camp Nou than you have at home, which is crazy. But to me, Atleti always played Barca better at Camp Nou. For the games I remember, Barca usually are the better team always at either the Calderon or Wanda.
Last year, second half of the Atletico were better, but you know Barca dominated that first half, and they could have won by two or three goals.
Yeah, so if you look at the balance of play, if you compare the dominance Barca had in the first half, which with just how Atleti were a little bit better than Barca in the second, I still think Barca were the much better team in that game. But you're right. Atleti had a great second half and a great comeback, but Barcelona usually play better than Atleti at Wanda. But I don't know. I think Atleti have a really good shot here. Like I said, Barcelona are going to have Messi at it, probably his best, which is our secret weapon. It's not that secret, but nobody knows how to stop.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's not a secret weapon at all, but it still is because nobody knows what to do. But I think if we face the Latin like October, I predict like 4-0 Barca. No, just no doubt. No doubt about it. I'm not sure you would disagree that much because a Latin like September, October was just awful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's still a bit of a bit of instability, I'd say, here. There's still this sense that Atletico aren't playing really near their potential. Their best performance of the season was against Dortmund a couple weeks back. But other than that, it's been really topsy-turvy. The new signings haven't quite taken. Simeone doesn't really know what his best team is. It's been a very strange start to the season. And Atletico aren't scoring like any goals. They've got 16 goals from 12 games in La Liga, which, to me, isn't really acceptable with the talent that was brought in this summer. But
yeah,
the thing about it is Atletico aren't losing. They're taking points at a really consistent rate. They've had too many draws, but they're just one point off the top of the table right now in what's looking like it's going to be an 82-point league. And that works in their favor. You win this game, you're top of the table. Amazingly. Exactly. Yeah. Despite all these draws and despite not scoring any goals, Atletico aren't losing. They're the only team in La Liga with one loss.
Yeah, I just feel I just look at Atleti and I think they're just more solid now. They're not great by any stretch of the imagination. No, they're not a great team yet.
Doesn't have to be great. Doesn't have to be pretty. Just got to be effective. That's what Cholo says almost all the time.
True, but they have the potential to be great.
They do,
in their own way. But they're not like when you think about a Simeone team at the absolute top peak of their powers. Atleti are not there right now. Not even close. So they're not great for what they can be yet. But I don't think on Saturday, it's not going to be the same thing we saw against Dortmund in Dortmund.
Oh, yeah.
That team doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, Cholo kind of beat it out of him. One last thing before we move on to the predictions. You mentioned that you think Barca have a better chance at the Wanda Metropolitano. Atletico's home record this season has been sensational. Best home team in La Liga, 5 wins and just 1 draw from 6 games. And Atletico have played really well in all those games except one. It was against Rayo in August where they were terrible. But Atletico have played really well in all those games. That's the only time they dropped points at home this season was that draw against Eibar, which Atletico should have won by about 5 goals, but they didn't. Barca, to their credit, Barca have been really good away from Camp Nou. 3 wins, a draw, and a loss, but Atletico have been really, really tough to beat at home.
True, so they haven't faced Barca yet.
Okay, a little swagger, okay. That's fine. We'll see.
No, I'm not lying. What's the real top team they faced at home this season? Athletic, which is not a top team?
No, Dortmund. In the Champions League, Dortmund. In La Liga?
In La Liga. You gave me the stats from La Liga.
In Betis, probably.
Yeah.
And they played really well in that game.
And even though Betis beat Barca the way they did, you're still not going to say that Betis are better than Barca.
No. Well, no. But
like, what I'm saying is, Atleti haven't faced Valencia, Sevilla, or Real Madrid or Barca at home yet.
That is true.
So I suppose there's two sides. I'm not discrediting the numbers at all. They're always going to be a really good home team. They've always been. They always will be. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying they haven't faced another title contender at home yet.
That is true. All right, so there's two sides to that coin. And a win here for Atletico, I mean, when was the last time that they won a truly huge game in La Liga? I mean, they've kept up well this year. They kept up well for a big part of last year, too. When was the last time that they won a truly big game domestically? I can't really remember. It hasn't been since probably 2015-16 that they won that huge game. This is a big chance to do that. And then top La Liga and really make a statement that hey, domestic dominance might be ending here, Barca. Watch out.
You're serious? I'm talking about making a statement in November. Are you really talking about making a statement in November?
Sure. Well, this is how the schedule works.
If they win a Cup Nou in like March or April, whenever that game's going to be.
Well, we're not in March or April.
And then they top La Liga, then they're making a statement that the dominance is ending. That's too early.
Well, they don't play,
early right now.
Play them till April. That's not my fault.
Exactly. But if you win in April, it's an even bigger statement than right now. What are you talking about? Do you really want to make a statement in November and then not win any of the big games until the end of the season and finish third again?
I didn't say that.
What would you rather have? A statement win in November or a statement win in April to get you like four wins away from winning La Liga?
I mean, yes.
What'd you rather have?
A statement win in April, but it's not April. I can't talk about April.
Yeah, but you're treating November like it's the Champions League final.
I really am not. I'm really not.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
The way you're saying, you said if you win, the domestic dominance is over.
I did not. I'm talking trash.
Exactly. But you're not talking trash in the trash talking way. You're actually talking trash out of your mouth.
What you
said doesn't make any sense.
What are you?
I know you're trash talking me, but it doesn't make it logically makes zero sense.
I like how much you've overthought this. This is funny. I think it's great.
Zero sense.
You make zero
again,
sense.
Again, I have a fever right now, so I'm delirious.
Yeah, so I'm not going to put much weight into anything you've said the last 40 minutes. So basically, this podcast has been pointless.
No, it hasn't. It has been a lot of fun. What you said like 2 minutes ago was very pointless, but the rest of the podcast has been good.
I mean, look, this is a you cannot deny this is a massive game, and really, it's for both teams. You cannot deny this is a massive game. Oh, come on!
I'm not denying that.
Okay. I thought you said you were. Okay, my bad.
No, I'm not crazy.
An Atletico victory would be.
I don't have a fever that bad.
An Atletico victory. I think this would be their biggest home victory, obviously since the stadium was opened, but I think in the last probably three plus years or so, this would be the Atletico's biggest home victory since 2015-16. All right, if they pull it off. Now,
I'm also not denying that. What I am denying is you saying that because they win a game in November with 25 or 24 games left in the La Liga season, that will tell Barca that their domestic dominance is over, even though Barca is going to be 2 points behind Atleti.
That is not what I said. I said it's laying
that
down.
That is exactly what you
it's
said.
It's laying
You're
down.
You're going to listen back to the podcast when you edit it. You're gonna listen to yourself and gonna say, yeah, I said some stupid stuff today.
I mean, I always say stupid things. That's just who I am. But I said, lay down a marker, fire a warning shot. That hey, you know, this is the craziness is going to continue. That's what I'm saying.
Nah, you're backtracking.
I'm not.
That's not what
I'm
you
clarifying.
Said first. What you said now makes a lot of sense.
I'm clarifying.
Hey. We're laying down a marker. We're going to be here. You're not going to beat us now and get away from us for the rest of the season.
There you go.
We're still here.
We're still chasing
you. That makes a lot of sense.
I didn't say that. Because you can't be chasing a team that you're ahead of.
But you do know that Barca is still going to be there. Come on, man.
Yes, I know. Let's predict the score lines. How about we do that?
Oh God.
I'm gonna predict
an Atletico. Predictions.
I'm gonna
predict.
I'm gonna predict an Atletico. I know you do. I'm gonna predict an Atletico win. Let's say 2-1 Atletico.
I'm gonna say 2-1 Barca.
Okay, there we go.
Two late Messi goals.
That's fantastic. It's gonna be. That's great.
I'm gonna predict Diego Costa scores a header in like the 8th minute, and then Atleti sit back for the rest of the game. Oblak made some ridiculous saves, not from the penalty spot because it doesn't know how to make those. But and then like in the 75th minute, Messi pulls a free kick out of nowhere, and then Barca continued to press, and then the 86th minute, Messi gets away from Lucas Hernandez. Oblak comes out of his goal, and Messi just places the ball between his legs and wins the game for Barca.
I like how you're still slandering Oblak for the penalty shootout like 2 years ago.
That was his. He had one job in his entire career. One job. And he didn't do it, so I'll never forget
him. I feel like every time you come on the show, we talk about that shootout.
Yes, because it wasn't supposed to. I always heard how good of a goalkeeper he is.
He is.
And then he faces Real Madrid in the Champions League final, and he doesn't dive for one freaking penalty. It's not that he guessed the wrong way. It's not that he was just a fingertip away from one of the penalties. He didn't even dive. How am I supposed to respect a guy who does that against Real Madrid? I won't ever.
Jesus. Okay, on that note.
Great goalkeeper, though.
On that note.
Great goalkeeper. Great goalkeeper.
I think it's time to wrap this up. Renato, thank you for coming on the show, despite your condition.
Yeah, this was fun. This is distracting me from the fever that I'm experiencing right now. That was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, you cannot follow the very sickly Renato Gonsalves on Twitter because he does not have Twitter anymore because he is smarter than the rest of us. But you can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. You can follow Barca Blaugranas at Blaugranas Barca. You can follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. All of that on Twitter. You're going to want to follow both accounts as we get set for Saturday night's huge contest. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating and review for us. And finally, become a Colts Narrow Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. Just posted a bonus pod on Monday night, the International Affairs Desk, where Rob Walker and myself talked about former Atleticos the world over, including Gabby, Fernando Torres, Augusto Fernandez, Yannick Carrasco, and more. patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. We will be back in the aftermath of Saturday's Partidazzo at the Wanda Metropolitano. Until then, adios.